It's very easy at Christmas time to hear some of the readings that we hear and take them for granted and assume we understand the context to which they're referring. So we hear our first reading this morning from Isaiah chapter 7 about how there'll be a child born and he'll be called Emmanuel. And we immediately go, we hear it at Christmas, it's referring to Jesus. And it does refer to Jesus. It is a prophetic announcement of who Christ will be. But it also has a context in which it's written. Isaiah is writing about a situation that's taking place in Judea at the particular time of the writing. And what's going on is you've got King Ahaz, and he is king of Judah. And at this time, Israel is split into two parts. There's Israel in the north and Judah in the south. And Israel in the north and Syria have joined forces and are attacking Judah. And basically, Ahaz is saying, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and call upon my arch enemy, Assyria, and ask them to help us. He's going to go and ask his enemy to go and help him defeat someone else. Seems a bit stupid and a bit ludicrous. What's this got to do with Christmas? How's this relevant? Well, what's happening here is the words of Isaiah to King Ahaz in this passage that we've heard read this morning from Isaiah. He's saying, you haven't sought the Lord. You haven't come to God and you haven't sought the Lord. And what Ahaz is saying to Isaiah is saying, well, I'm not going to ask the Lord what I should do because I don't want to put the Lord God to the test. So I'm not going to put God to the test by asking him what I should do. I'm going to do this over here. Because if I ask God, that'd be testing him. And God turns around to Isaiah and says, what on earth are you on about? Isaiah is saying, as a prophet and speaking the word of God, saying, ask God for a sign. Ask me and I will show you that I'm with you. And Isaiah is saying, don't worry about Syria and Israel because those kingdoms are going to fall very soon and you'll be okay. So the idea of then Ahaz going and asking the Assyrians to come and help him is stupid. But you see, Ahaz has already made up in his mind what he's going to do. He's already chosen his options. So even though he is part of the nation and the people of God, even though God is there, God is saying, I have chosen you, I have been with you, I'm the God, you know, who's been with David and who built the temple, and I've been here, I've been doing this. Ahaz chooses, rather than to ask God and seek God's heart and God's will, he decides to make up his own mind and go with that option instead. Ludicrous idea. And Isaiah is saying to him, basically, in 9 months' time, you'll see what should have happened. He said, in the time it takes for a mother to give birth, you'll see that God is with you, that God is Emmanuel. God is with you. See, what's happening in Isaiah is Isaiah's trying to say to Ahaz, God's presence has been here the entire time. God's been at work the entire time, and yet you've missed it. You haven't seen it. You've chosen not to do that. You've chosen not to follow what God is saying could happen. You're choosing to make up your own mind and go your own way and make your own choices, which ultimately are never going to end very well. Particularly in this case, asking your arch enemies to come and help you is never a good plan, not recommended. Isaiah is saying, God is with you. Remember that God is with you. That is the God of Israel. That is the God of Judah. That is the God who is with you. Wake up. See that God is with you. You see, prophecy, when we hear words of prophecy, whether that's in the Old Testament, New Testament, whether it's through the Bible, whether it's through a word that someone says to us from God for us, what does prophecy do? It's like a stick that pokes us. It pokes us and provokes a response in us. See, and in the good times, prophecy pokes us and reminds us not to become complacent. And in the hard times, in the bad times, words of prophecy, words from God, remind us of the hope and the future that we have in God. It has a place, no matter how we feel, no matter where we are. If things are going really well in your day, if things are going really well today for you, fantastic, praise God. But don't become complacent in that place. If things are going really bad for you today, and actually you're not feeling great, then know that the words of prophecy to you today are that God brings hope and God brings a future. And then we skip way forward into the New Testament, into Matthew's Gospel. And we hear the story of Joseph finding out from God that Mary is telling the truth, that actually she is pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and Joseph marry her anyway and get on with it. Now, that's pretty staggering. You see, God's way is sometimes so hard to understand, so hard to get your head around. So here's poor Joseph, and his wife comes to him and says, I'm pregnant, it's not yours, it's God's. And he's like, what? Is that the best excuse you could have come up with? And he thinks, but he's a righteous man, so he does the right thing. He says, I'm going to divorce her quietly. Then God prophetically speaks to him through an angel in a dream. God turns up and says, I am with you. I am here. My presence is on this. This is the truth. This is the way. This prophecy is true. Your wife is going to give birth, and she is going to give birth to the Messiah, who will be God with you. God is going to come and be with you in your presence. He's going to be there. And Joseph goes, all right then. Like, what? I'm sure the scriptures don't fully describe there what was going on in Joseph's mind when he woke up. Because I'm going, what? He's gone, I've had a dream. I'm now going to take my pregnant wife. We're going to register in Bethlehem and it will all be lovely. But you see, he responds. He actively chooses to respond to the word of God. It says that he'd already made up his mind, to divorce Mary. But he was prepared to let God's word speak into his life and change his direction. King Ahaz had made up his mind what he was going to do. And it wasn't to inquire of God, it was to go his own way. You see, when we don't inquire of God for what we should do and the way that we should go, we are in danger of, first of all, going the entirely the wrong way. But equally, when we go on the wrong path, God always will try and bring us back to the path that he wants us to be on. He'll constantly bring people alongside us to help us be put back on track. He'll constantly bring words to us to say, you should be going this way. You should be going this way. Or he'll put that niggling feeling inside us where we go, we don't quite feel right about this. We don't quite feel at peace about this. God will prophetically poke us with a stick so that we can respond to him. Joseph had made up his mind, but equally he's a righteous man who's prepared to let God speak into his life and let God shape the future. He was prepared to say, I will take this pregnant woman who's not pregnant by me, and I will help her in her pregnancy. He probably, I imagine, probably helped deliver the baby, maybe. Who knows? He's there with his wife, giving birth to the Son of God. He's prepared to let God speak into his life, and he's prepared to then help birth the vision of God. The vision and the plan of God. He's prepared to help birth that vision and that plan, even though it doesn't really suit him. Imagine those 9 months of just feeling like, really, God? Is this actually you? Really? She's pregnant? What are people going to think? He puts aside himself for the sake of the plan of God, for the vision of God, for the purpose of God. He puts aside what he had made up his mind to do and said, God, your way, your will, not mine. That's incredible. And he goes out of his way to make sure that he helps Mary in her pregnancy, helps her vision, helps her plan, helps the purposes of God through her. He is a great example of an encouragement ministry. He is there encouraging Mary to bring to birth the plan and the vision of God, the purpose of God. And he is prepared to put aside everything that he wants. He's there going, I want to divorce her. I'll put that aside. I want a child with Mary, who's my own. I'll put that aside for now. Imagine wanting to marry someone and then being pregnant, not with your child, and you're going, all I ever want is to have a child with this person, and they're already pregnant. How heartbreaking that must have been for Joseph. And yet he's prepared to get on with the task in hand. It says in this passage that he didn't consummate the marriage until after Jesus was born. He put aside his personal desires, I imagine, for what he wanted from his marriage. He puts aside things that he wants so that actually God's plan and God's purposes can prevail. Are we prepared to recognize that so often we make up our mind about what is going to take place and what is going to happen? And so often we forget to come back to God and say, God, what do you want? What is your purpose? What is your will in all of this? God, what are you doing through this? I can't understand it. What are you doing in this, God? Joseph is prepared to listen to the word of God in this crazy, stupid situation he finds himself in. And he goes, well, if God is God and he can do anything, I'm prepared to trust in the word of God, and I will do everything I can to allow this to take place. And he encourages Mary in what God has called Mary to do and undertake. See, it's very easy for us to always want to be the person who has the ministry, who is the big person in church, or we've got this great ministry that we do, or we're at the front, or we like this, that, and the other, or God's spoken to me and I've got this amazing vision and plan. It's much harder to be the person like Joseph, who says, I don't quite get what this person's on about. I don't quite get the vision that this person's talking about. It all seems a bit too bizarre to me. But I'm prepared to recognize it might be God. And I'm prepared to encourage that person in their vision and the purpose that God's got for their life. Are we prepared to encourage each other for God? Are we prepared to see the visions and the purposes that God's got in each other and say, I'm going to do everything I can to help birth the vision of God in your life? I'm going to do everything I can to bring about the purposes of God in your life. I'm going to put aside maybe things that I want so that you can see God at work. And when he puts aside his desires, when he puts aside the he made up his mind already, what happens is he gets to not only experience, but he also gets to see the living God in person, in flesh. When we choose to walk in the purposes of God, we choose to get involved within that, we then experience and we see God with us. When we choose to go in that direction, it is God with us. We see him at work. When we've prepared to put aside ourselves, we open ourselves up to see Jesus face to face, to see God with us, see God at work. When we choose to go our own direction, we're in danger of missing out on what God has for us. Imagine Joseph, if he had still divorced Mary. Mary would have still given birth, the Messiah would have still come into the world, but Joseph would have missed out on seeing Jesus Christ in the flesh, God face to face. He'd have missed out on experiencing all of the life of Jesus. He'd have missed out. It still would have taken place, still would have happened, but he would have missed out. But he chose to join in with God and help bring about the purpose and plan of God. Let's just pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are Emmanuel, God with us. And that, Lord, when you are with us, Lord, your purposes and your plans prevail. Lord, help us in the midst of our life, in the busyness of Christmas, Lord, in the brokenness of our world, Lord, help us to see you. Help us require and ask of you, Lord. Help us seek your face in every situation and circumstance. Lord, let us not make up our own minds, but Lord, let us be open to your will and your way. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.